Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, we'll read these 10 verses. And then we'll review a little bit about what Jonah's been going through, and we'll get you caught up, and we'll look at it this morning. We're going to talk about second chances and new beginnings. Second chances and new beginnings. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. If you remember, the book of Jonah starts with, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Well, two chapters later, we're back where we started. God's talking to him again. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now, where's Jonah at right now? He just got vomited out of the stomach of a fish, okay? And so he gets thrown up on land, probably didn't look very good, probably didn't smell very good. And now God speaks to him and says, again and tells him, go back to Nineveh. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. So from where Jonah was, it was a three-day journey. Verse 4, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. We call that motivation. Spending time in a fish motivated him to get there a little bit ahead of schedule, okay? He thought, man, this time it's 3 days. I'll be there, Lord. Just trust me on this. I wonder when he was going to Nineveh, if every time he heard an animal or something, he freaked out. You know, like, is God going to have a dog swallow me next? So he was on his way. So the and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Interesting. Jonah goes there. Now, if we're going to look at chapter 4, he had a little bit of a bad attitude about the whole thing. But he got in there. He said, okay, here's the message. 40 days, you're done. Thanks for coming. Have a safe trip home. And he left. The people listen to the message. They're like, they get concerned. They believe what God says. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. Put on sackcloth from the greatest even to the least. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Everybody was fasting, even the animals. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. That's a sign of remorse. It's a sign of repentance. And cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Wow, these people, the king wanted them to change. Verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And look at this. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning as we look at the story of Jonah. We've looked at it already for a few weeks, Lord, how he disobeyed you, how he made a 911 call, and now we're going to look at the new beginning that you gave to him and the second chance that you gave to the Ninevites. Teach us some principles from your word that will help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we review the story from a few weeks ago, God, in chapter 1, gave Jonah specific instructions to go to Nineveh. Wasn't up for debate. It wasn't a A, B, or C. God said go. Jonah decided not to go. He ran away from God. He got on a ship going the opposite direction. Because of his disobedience, God brought a storm in the ship. The ship was going to sink. The mariners were afraid. They did their best to fix things. Jonah came to him and said, listen, it's because of me. Chuck me overboard, and God will calm the sea. And so, by the way, the mariners were very compassionate. They tried to row the boat. That didn't work. They said, yep, let's go to Jonah's plan. Chucked him overboard. They chucked him overboard. The sea calms down. Jonah is swallowed by a great fish that God had prepared. The last lesson we looked at, while Jonah was in the belly of the fish, Jonah makes a spiritual 911 call. And God listens to him. God has the fish spit him out on dry land. That's where the story takes place. As soon as the story is done, God speaks to him and says, Jonah, go back to Nineveh. Jonah is getting a fresh start. And we're going to see that through his message, the Ninevites are going to have a new beginning. Their situations here are different. One was coming back to God. The other was coming to God. But the principles we're going to see are basically the same. They were coming to God from different places, but they were both coming back to God. By the way, all of us, at some point in our life, at some time of our life, some area of our life, we feel like we need a fresh start. We feel like we need a new beginning. And by the way, I'm glad God gives those to us. Okay? We don't deserve it. We're not perfect. But God gives us the opportunity, when we get a little sideways, when we get a little crooked, to get back on track and do the right thing. But if we're going to do that, we still need to listen to what God tells us and how we are to do it. So here's Jonah standing on the shore. Probably didn't look very good. Three days in digestive juices, he may not have looked very nice. He may have had some issues. But here he is sitting there. He's prayed to God. God's answered his prayer. God's got him out of his trouble. But yet, there's some things that he still has to do. And there are things that we have to do. If God is going to give us a second chance, if we're going to have new beginnings, we need to follow these two. What are these things we have to do? Let me give you several of them. First of all, if we're going to have a second chance, we will have to deal with the issue that hindered us in the first place. We're going to have to deal with the issue that hindered us in the first place. As Jonah is standing probably on the shore, just out of the fish's belly, he's probably feeling comforted. He's like, wow, that was crazy. Thank God he's merciful. And then he hears the voice. God's word comes to him and says, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh. What do they call that? Deja vu? It's like, I've heard this message somewhere before. Yes, you heard it the first time, right before you got in a storm, right before you got chucked overboard, and right before you got swallowed. And so now God has delivered you from your misery. God has delivered you from your problem, but that issue you did not deal with in the first place is still sitting there waiting to be dealt with. God didn't just spare him from his problems to say, well, you know, that just didn't work out. Let's do something else. God still expected him to do what he was supposed to do. God was still working in his life. You see, when we think about what God wants to accomplish with us, God is more concerned with us and who we are than what he wants us to do. That's why he still had to get it right and do the thing he was supposed to do in the first place. God wasn't going to let him off the hook. So the issue is still front and center. By the way, after the way he treated God in the first place, he ought to be thanking God that God would still speak to him at all. And God says, here it is, still there. What are you going to do about it? Go to Nineveh. By the way, one of the tests of our relationship to God to make sure that we're still as close to God as we should be is this. Does God still speak to me? Do I still hear from God? Because if we ever get to the point where we can read our Bibles and we're not hearing from God, or we can sit in a church service and God doesn't speak to us about something, or God isn't just dealing with us in our life when we do something wrong, that's the time you need to get scared. Thank God for Jonah. God's still dealing with him. But what's the issue? The issue is Nineveh. You're still going. It's still not an option. We've went through all this drama. We got on the ship. We got on the fish. What are you going to do? Are you going to go back to Jonah? Are you going to go back to Nineveh? Now, what about you? Maybe you're struggling in an area of your life. Maybe you're struggling in something. You say, you know, I want to get that second chance. I want to go forward. I want to get that settled. You know what God says? Well, that issue that was causing you problems, are you going to deal with it? Sometimes it's bitterness. Sometimes we get upset and we at God, or we get upset at situations in our life, and what happens is we start to blame others and we get bitter. We get bitter at an individual because of something that went on. And sometimes we even get bitter at God because he didn't act the way we felt he should act. Is that your issue? You need to deal with it. You can't just skirt the issue and say, I'll go to the side and I'm still going to serve God. It doesn't work that way. God has that issue right there and you need to deal with it. Is it a sin in your life? Is there something you're struggling with? You've got to deal with that issue. You can't just say, I'm going to ignore it and I'm going to try to go. No. You have to get that issue front and center and you need to take care of it. Maybe it's an association in your life. I don't know what it is this morning, but I know this. You have to deal with it. I remember years ago, I heard the testimony of one of the Coors children, as in Coors, the alcohol, the beer. And this young man, he had bitterness in his heart. He wasn't a Christian because of some things that happened. I think his father was murdered, got in the service, did some things, was working at their company. They made him work as a warehouse man after he had went in the service to prove himself. He worked his way back up to the company business, and then he got saved. He had to make a decision. And as a Christian, he felt and knew, I could not work in the alcohol business. And he had to give that up. That was the issue that was front and center in his life. And God said, you need to deal with that. And he said, I can't be involved in this. I have to move on. Now, that cost him something. What is the issue in front of you that you're not dealing with? You can't get back on the path for God unless you deal with the issue that knocked you off the path in the first place. You say, I don't feel as close to God anymore since I started doing this thing or since this came into my life. Then what you need to do is you need to get back right with God and deal with that issue and get that thing out of your life. Don't let that issue just sit there. And by the way, sometimes we try to hide it from God, don't we? Can I just tell you something? Newsflash. He knows already. He doesn't need you to tell him what the issue is, so he says, really? I didn't get that. You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to come before him and tell him. So he says, now you agree with me. Now we can deal with it and let's move on. We have to deal with the issue that hindered us in the first place. Number two, and it's kind of the same thing from a different angle. We will have to do the thing that we neglected doing in the first place. What was the thing he neglected doing? As we see in chapter 4, now his attitude completely doesn't get right. We'll see that later. He didn't want to go to the Ninevites. He didn't want to do that thing. He didn't want to go give them God's message. And God says, that's what you have to do. You cannot neglect doing this thing. This is something that I want you to do. You see, I can understand, by the way, why Jonah was hesitant. History tells us that Nineveh was known for their violence. They were known for showing no mercy to their enemies. They would impale victims live on sharp poles, leaving them to roast to death in the desert sun in front of individuals, just to show that they're in charge. They would behead the people if they went to war with the city and they won the battle. They would cut off all the people's heads and they would stack them up in pyramids outside the gates of the city, just to let people know they had been there. They would skin people alive. They didn't respect age or sex. They killed everybody, babies, children, women. They were pretty bad people. Oh, and by the way, they didn't like the Jews. Guess who Jonah was? He was a Jew. And he's like, I don't want God to spare those people. I don't want to give that message. And God said, that's what you got to do. It's something you have to do. You see, there's two areas of life where we make mistakes or where we do wrong. There, it may be things in the Bible that we don't do that we do that we're not supposed to do. Okay? That's when we think of sin, that's typically what we think of. Here's the things that God says, thou shalt not, and we don't do them. But there's another flip side to that, thou shalt. In other words, sometimes it's a sin of omission. There's things we're supposed to be doing in our life, and we're not doing those things, and those are just as harmful. And those are just as wrong. See, we have full responsibilities we are to fulfill. Jonah's responsibility was to get into Nineveh and give them God's word. That was his responsibility, and he neglected on that responsibility for several days. If he was in the fish for 3 days and it took him a day to get there, that's 4 days he neglected. By the way, according to the scripture here, the whole city repented. I wonder if there was people that would have repented and came to God who died in those 4 days. That was a pretty big city. See, he did not fulfill his responsibility, and by not doing that, he not only displeased God, he may have hurt others. One of the most unbelievable stories I heard, we had a missionary here years ago. Actually, he came to our church during the time we were on Long Beach Boulevard, 9 months. That was the building that we really couldn't show you on the video because it was condemned and tore down. Fact of the matter is, it should have been condemned and tore down before we ever went there. It was bad. We had a full church house there because we had all the people that would come to church. We had the rats. They were all over the place. But while we were there, we had this missionary, Peter Duke, came in, and he told this story. He said one night in his town, there was a drunk driver, and he was driving down the road. This is years ago. Drunk driving is it's always been bad. It's worse nowadays than it was. I mean, it's more of a front and center. This man was driving. Police officer came and pulled him over. Talked to the man, realized he had been drinking. The man told the officer, saw his driver's license, and said, "Look, I'm only 2 blocks from my house. Can you just let me drive the final 2 blocks? I'll be fine. It's middle of, you know, it's late at night. There's nobody on the road." Just he saw his address, knew it was just a couple blocks away, and said, "That's fine. I'll let you go. Just be careful. Don't do this anymore." Guy took off. A block from his house, or a block from where he left, he ran through either, I forget if it was a light or a stop sign, smashed into another car, and killed a young mother. The missionary stood there and said, "That young mother was my mother." And all those years, that man grew up without a mom because an officer did not fulfill his responsibility. You see, it's not just things that we do that are wrong. Sometimes it's the things that we're supposed to be doing that we don't do that is wrong. Responsibility. Do the things you're supposed to do. Next, if we're going to have these fresh start, this second chance, number three, we will have to decide to do it his way, not ours. He tells Jonah in verse 2, he says, "You do the preaching that I bid thee." Listen to what I tell you to say. Do what I tell you to do. Now, we don't like that. Because, see, most of us, if we're honest, we want God on our terms. Isn't that how we are? Remember Burger King? Have it your way. Okay, you know, what is it? Have it your way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. Have it your way. Okay. That's great for a hamburger. By the way, don't try that at McDonald's. It'll take you half an hour. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't work with Christianity. We don't have God on our terms. When we come to God, we come to God on his terms. We don't do just what we want to do. We want to see God, and we want to see him work on our terms. We will even do somewhat of God wants us to do, but only if we can do it our way and put our own spin on it. You ever hear someone say, you talk to someone, hey, invite them to church or whatever, they'll say, "Oh, hey, I don't do that stuff." You talk to them about the Lord, "Oh, no, I don't need that. Me and the old man upstairs, we have an agreement." First of all, he's not an old man. Second of all, he does not live upstairs. And third of all, you ain't got an agreement. The only agreements that God makes are the agreements that come from his word. But that's what we are. We want our way. For this, it all boiled down to this for Jonah. It was a trust issue. See, the reason he didn't go in the first place, there's some trust there that was he didn't have. He didn't have complete trust. God, do you really know what you're doing? Because I'm not in on this. When we don't trust God, we won't do what he says. So, oh, I have great faith. Well, if you have faith, then you're trusting God enough to do what he tells you to do. If you don't trust him enough to do what he tells you to do, then we don't have faith. We're just doing what we agree with, right? Well, I'll do whatever you say as long as I agree with it. No. Is that what you want your children to do when they're young? Hey, dad says do this. Well, I kind of agree with that. I'll do it. No, I don't care if you agree with it or not. Dad said do it. You're going to do it. But I just don't understand. I'm not asking you to understand. Sometimes you're too little to understand. Just trust me and do what dad says. Why don't we do that with God? That's what it boils down to. I read that the African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a 30-foot distance. But yet, if you put them in a zoo, you can hold them in with a fence that's about 3 feet. You know how they do that? Because they won't jump unless they can see their landing spot. And so they just lower the landing spot to the point where they can't see it, and so they won't jump. That's how we treat God. God, I'll jump, but I got to have everything figured out. You know, it's like, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Well, Lord, you need to tell me exactly how this is going to work out. You don't need to know how it's going to work out. Just go. Isn't it when he told Abraham to get up and go? He said, Abraham, I want you to get up to go to the place that I'll show you. God didn't even tell him where it was. He just to start moving, you'll get it. When the children of Israel were in the desert, now they knew they weren't going to get to the promised land, but they had to follow the cloud during the day and the fire by night. And as soon as it moved, they moved. Where were they going? They didn't know. They just followed. Why don't we trust God and do that? We don't have to have all the answers. All we have to know is what God says. See, our problem is we believe in who God is, but we don't want to believe in what he says. There was a Gallup poll taken among Americans. 74% of Americans said this. They agree strongly that there is only one God, true God, who is holy and perfect and who created the world and rules it today. 74%. But yet, out of that, you got 74%, 65% said that they believe that the assertion that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Now think about that. Most of those people that said that there is a God, he's in control of everything that's going on, 65% said, well, you know, most of those said, well, but I don't believe there's absolute truth. But you know why we don't believe there's absolute truth? We don't want to. We don't want there to be a God who we know absolutely what he says, because then we're accountable to do what he says. We just want to believe in this God who's out there. Yes, he's a creator. Yes, he does everything, but he doesn't have the right to tell me what to do. And that doesn't work. Next, number four, we will have to avoid delaying in obedience like before. Before, Jonah didn't want to go, did he? No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go the other direction. The second time, 3-day journey. At the end of the first day, Jonah's there. By the way, he didn't catch a taxi. There was no airplanes. He hustled. He was in on it. The first time he didn't go at all. The second time he said, I'm going to get there quickly. The problem isn't that we don't know what to do. The problem is that we don't go, and if we do go, we want to delay in going. You see, we're all procrastinators, and spiritually speaking, we do the same thing. We hear something from God, or we read something, we learn something, it's like, that's good, I want to put that into practice into my life, and you know what happens? It never happens, because we're waiting. Now, this is a leadership thing, but a leadership book we read once said that if you learn something new, if you don't put it into practice within 48 hours, you never will. And see, what we do is we put God off. A story is told about a young boy back in the old days. It was a farm boy, and he had a wagon load of corn. As he was taking it on the dirt road, it swayed a little, and it fell over. And everything was all squished and everywhere. The boy was going to hopped up and was going to start fixing it. Another old farmer saw what happened and came out there and said, hey, son, let it set for a while. You don't have to do it right now. The kid goes, no, sir, you don't understand. I've got to do it. My pa's going to be mad if I don't clean this. He goes, son, take it easy. It'll still be there. Come on to the house and we'll sit a spell and we'll eat together. Wife's about to make dinner, come on in and then afterwards, I'll come out here and I'll help you get it cleaned up. And the boy goes, no, I can't do that. My dad will be upset. He said, son, come on, let's go eat. Finally, the boy goes, okay, all right. So he goes in the house, They have a great meal. They spend some time together. They get done, and they go out to the wagon where the corn's in the road. And the little boy goes, "Sir, I that was great. Thanks for the meal, but my dad's going to be mad." He goes, "Don't worry about it. Where's your dad anyhow? He's under the corn." That's how we are. We put everything off. I'll do it later. I know God spoke to me, and it's like, oh, that's great. And then we get done with church, and it's like, what's for lunch? And by the way, I'm with you. What is for lunch? It's going to be good. But when God speaks to us, let's make it a matter to say, I'm going to do it right away. Don't put it off. When you put it off, you're not going to do it. I'm just telling you that right now. If we put off obedience, it'll never, ever happen. And then the last thing is this. Looking at the, now we're going to look at the Ninevites. How did they get help? We will still have to take decisive action in our relationship to God. That's got to be fixed. We've got to keep that closeness. We saw what the children of Nineveh did. They heard the message and they believed in God. And then they started to make changes. They proclaimed a fast and they put on sackcloth and that shows their remorse. And then the king heard about it and he said, yes, not only are we going to fast, the animals are going to fast. Not only am I going to wear sackcloth, everybody's going to wear sackcloth. The animals are going to wear, we're going to repent and we're going to cry to God and beg for him to give us mercy. And what do we see in the story? It happened. They did not delay their obedience. They responded to the message right away. They didn't wait. As we mentioned already, don't wait. Whenever God speaks to you about something, that's the time to deal with it. We are so just used to putting things off to the side and not doing things, and they never get done. Let's not be like that. Let's listen to God the first time he speaks. Let's not be like Jonah, have to go back and learn that obedience the hard way. Why don't we learn obedience the right way? They responded to the message. They realized their wrongdoing. You see, what happens is this. They repented. What is repentance? Repentance is agreeing with God that my actions are wrong. You see, by the way, that's the step it takes for us to get right. We may conform to something, but if we don't really believe that it's wrong, we're not going to change. We have to get to the point where we just agree with God, and God says, this thing in my life is not right, or this thing I'm not doing in my life. It's not right for me not to do it. I agree with you, God. I know that it's wrong. That's where the change comes from. It starts on the inside first. It's not just conformity. It's realizing, you know what? This is what is right. This is what God wants. And everything I do on the outside is a result of the beliefs I have on the inside. That'll keep us from making temporary changes. Sometimes people make temporary changes. You know, look, here's a husband and wife. They're having major problems in their marriage. And one person realizes that, yes, this is something I'm doing. And what they'll do is they'll make changes just to kind of get the situation calmed down. Not really because they realize they're doing wrong. You know what happens? Give it a week, a month, they're right back to where they were. Because there's no heart change. There's no inside agreement that what they're doing was damaging to the marriage. And that's true of every part of our life. We see that they changed their actions. Turned everyone from their evil way. And the good part is, God saw everything he did. That they did, and he decided not to do what he was going to do to them. Now listen, unless you're perfect, there are areas in our life that need to be changed. There are areas in our life we need to make adjustments. There's areas of our life we need a second chance, or we need a fresh start. But let's make sure we're doing it God's way. Who are we to come to God and say, now God, I'll do it, but it's got to be like this. I'm not going to do that. That's the height of like, that'd be scary. We come to God and say, you know what, God, I agree with you. And I'm going to deal with the things that have been causing me problems. I'm going to deal with what's kept me from being what you want me to be. And I'm going to get that fresh start you want me to have. Let's pray this morning. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed.